Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
God has called us to be giant killers. Don't depend on someone else to do what God has called you to do. So we're talking about the resume requirements, talking about building the believer's resume. That your resume should look different this year than it does next year. Different than it does right now. It should look different tomorrow or the next day. How to transition from shepherd to soldier. David moved from a shepherd to a soldier in an instant. Check this out. He never quit being a shepherd, but you can be a shepherd all of your life without ever becoming a soldier. And God has called us to be militant, not in the worldly way, but the violent. The kingdom of God has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. Meaning, the enemy cannot tell you what you can and cannot do, what you can and cannot have. I believe that as a child of God, that we have authority to stand on the word of God and talk and speak in authority and with faith, and that what we say literally can move mountains. Mountains of debt, mountains of sickness, mountains of craziness, mountains against our families, mountains against whatever you are. I believe that God has called us to be soldiers, and then we better make sure that the person better match the paper, meaning don't lie on your resume that who you say you are, you better be, because the enemy is not going to match who you are. He's going to match who you say you are. So last week we talked about the number one on the resume of every giant killer is the anointing. The anointing is simply God's super on our natural, God's ability on our ability. Anointing is God's spirit resting on us and in us. When you are anointed, the anointing does not make decisions based on emotions. If you are going to be emotion-led, you are always going to fail on the battlefield because we cannot fight from emotions. You know, there's a lot of times where we fight, and maybe we're talking about just verbal fights, but there's a lot of times where we spar with our spouse verbally when it would have been better if we would have just gone and been by ourselves for 10 minutes. Everything we say does not need to, everything we think does not need to be said. And we have way too many believers that are getting emotional and allowing our emotions to make decisions, but the anointing even covers your emotions so that when you are emotional, the anointing or the Spirit of God doesn't let you say something or do something that is going to cause you to fail on the battlefield. That's why I don't just speak in tongues to speak in tongues. Sometimes the Holy Spirit makes me shut my mouth. Sometimes the Holy Spirit makes me wait another day before I go to the battlefield because he knows if you go out on the battlefield like this, you are going to get slayed. You will not do any slaying today. And so we do not make emotional decisions. The anointing does not allow us to. So if I'm anointed, I cannot be ruled by emotions. The anointing does not make decisions based on what you see. Because if you had stood as a spectator to this battle between David and Goliath, all money was on Goliath based on what was seen. But I am here to encourage believers in the room and online today. Thanks be to God that faith always tips the scales in our favor, and it doesn't matter what it looks like. There is a God on the inside of me. What's the saying? It doesn't matter the size of the dog in the fight, but the fight in the dog. And I am here to tell you, and let me tell you, maybe that came from this story because the Philistine talked about the yapping dog that David was, but I am here to tell you, I might not look like much, but once I start swinging that stone, God is going to get involved. I might not look like much, but you don't know what I've been through. You don't know what I've done to get me to this place. You weren't there to see me defeat the lion. You weren't there to see me defeat the bear, and here I am today. You don't know my testimony, and so I don't expect you to believe my story because you have not seen his glory. Therefore, if I'm anointed, I cannot be ruled by what I see. Pastor, do you watch the news? Every now and then. Every now and then I forget why I quit watching. And I watch for 2 minutes, and then I got to pray through. I got to pray through for many reasons. I don't like what I'm hearing. I don't like what I'm seeing. I don't believe what I'm hearing. I don't believe what I'm seeing. And so I turn back to the things of God and say, God, it doesn't matter how dark the world is. Jesus, you are the light of the world. And God, because you shine, we shine. And I'm not going to tremble and I'm not going to be scared by what it looks like, God. I am going to stand in the face of the enemy and say, for such a time as this, God has anointed me and brought me to this place. And you will be just like the lion and the bear. Number two on the resume, into some new material, number two on the resume of a giant killer is to have a heart after God. After Saul was disobedient and God rejected him, remember, God doesn't reject people, he rejects positions. He never once rejected Saul. He rejected Saul's title as king. Saul still had a relationship with God. God was still calling to Saul, moving in Saul, working in Saul, but Saul was not living and walking in obedience, and so he removed the title from his life. And I said last week that demotion is not the worst thing that can happen to us. Demotion sometimes is the only way that God can save your soul, because a lot of times we get drunk on power. We get drunk on position. And God says, you forgot that it was me who raised you up. And since I'm the one who raised you up, I can bring you right back down and make sure your eyes are on me and not always looking in the mirror. I realize that I am more than a conqueror in Christ, but the moment that I'm not in Christ, I'm less than a conqueror. The moment that I start looking in the mirror more than I start looking through prayer and looking through the glass at God, I'm here to tell you the title can be taken away. Acts 13:22 is one of the greatest epitaphs to David's life that we read. It says, after removing Saul, he made David their king. God testified concerning him, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything. He will do, not he has done. He will do. See, when you say yes to Jesus, and you accept his anointing on your life, and he looks past the skin color, and he looks past your gender, and he looks into your heart and into the heart of hearts, and he sees, this is somebody that I can use. God said, I know. Isn't it awesome that God has that much faith in us? Sometimes I don't have faith in me, and God still does. He says he will do everything I want him to do. God is just repeating in 1 Samuel what he says in 1 Samuel 13:14. But now your kingdom will not endure, God is talking to Saul. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart and appointed him ruler of his people because you have not kept the Lord's command. God was looking for a man that had a heart like him. U2 had a popular song many years ago that said, I still haven't found what I'm looking for. If you're taking notes, write this down or take a picture of the LED wall. What would happen if we stopped looking for what we want and we became what God is looking for? What would happen if we stop looking every day on the things that make us happy, on the things that bring us joy, on the things that make us measure up to people we shouldn't even be comparing ourselves to? What if we woke up in the morning and said, God, I'm not looking for anything. I'm becoming what you're looking for. God, if you're looking for someone to use, I want your eyes to rest on me. God, if you're looking on someone for the anointing to rest on, God, look no further. You have found a man. You have found a woman that has your heart. In the Old Testament Chronicles, it says that God's eyes run to and fro looking for someone to show himself strong on their behalf. In chapter 13, verse 14 of 1 Samuel, it said that the Lord sought. The Lord was actively looking. Don't you know that God looked at Jesse's other seven sons and they looked the part on the outside, but when he peeled the layers back of who everyone thought they were, when he peeled back reputation, when he peeled back what everybody else was saying, and he got to the heart of the seven brothers, he said, they don't have a heart I can work with. But he said, there's one named David. His daddy didn't know his heart because his dad didn't even bring him to the sacrifice so that he could be looked at to be chosen. And I want to be one of the ones to cheer you on. I want to be one of the ones that encourages you. You might feel overlooked in 2022. You might feel undervalued in 2022. You might feel underappreciated in 2022. But I am here to tell you, Samuel missed it. Jesse missed it. All the brothers missed it. But the one who counts has not missed it. He's seen you toiling away in private. He has heard your prayers when no one else heard them. He saw you fight the bear. He saw you fight the lion. I thought I'd get a better amen right there. God has been looking when no one else is looking. And I'm glad that you're not keeping score. I'm glad that you're not making check marks. I'm glad that you're not the one whose eyes matter on my resume, but the God of the universe has seen me. He's seen you. He's seen your obedience. He's seen your faithfulness in the face of the giant. And he says, that one has a heart like me. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, get a heart like God. So what happens when we don't wake up looking for stuff, but we wake up saying, God, I know you're looking for someone. And I want to make sure that I'm that someone. See, that flips the script on the enemy, because now you're not hunting blessings. Now you're having a relationship with a blessor. Now you're not saying, God, what can you do for me? Now it's saying, God, what can I do for you? Come on, giant killers are not out there saying, me, me, me. Giant killers are saying, I'm going to stand between you and a generation, Goliath. I'm going to stand between you and the innocent. I'm going to stand between you and the downtrodden. I'm going to stand between you and the ones that aren't ready yet. And I believe Living Way can be that for San Antonio. But more than a city, I believe you can be that for your family. You can be that for your loved ones. They might not be ready yet. Their heart might not be right yet. But if you are a David, God has you in the right place. God has you at the right time. And God just needs your heart. And you can say, God, I am the one you are looking for. What can I do for you? It changes Mandy's countenance when she comes home from the grocery store. And I say, hey, babe, do you need some help? Because now she knows that we're in this thing together. I got a question, and it's not in my notes, so I know this is of the Spirit tonight. Does God know that you and him are in this together? How many moms we got in the room today? Praise God. Somebody's excited about being a mom. I love that. Some of you are like, that first week of school is doing you in right now. Have you ever felt underappreciated? Be honest. Tell the truth. Shame the devil. Have you ever felt like you were doing everything and everybody that you loved the most and said they loved you the most were doing nothing? What does that make you want to do? Work harder? Serve harder? Be more of a doormat? Come on, somebody. But so many times, God heal me. God bless me. God, I need you to do something on my job. God, I need you to do something with that ex-spouse of mine. God, you really got to do something with our country. And we are treating God like he's our mother. And he's there to clean up every mess and give us everything we want. Some of us are begging God just like a toddler. And when God doesn't do it like we want it, when we want it, where we want it, we stomp our feet and we throw a holy fit. I am here to tell you, God is not working for you. God wants to work with you. He brings the impossible, you bring the possible. You bring the stone, you bring the attitude, you bring the heart. And he said, I will bring my spirit and I will anoint everything you're doing. And when you sling that stone, it will work. Why? Because we're working together. God doesn't need us, God wants us. God doesn't need us, he wants us. Because at any moment in time, he could have caused Goliath's heart to quit beating. But he said, you know what's going to bring me more glory? You know what's going to encourage a nation called Israel? Is if I raise up one of the least of them. If I raise up the overlooked, if I raise up the forgotten, if I raise up the unknown, and I put my spirit on them, and I talk about the heart in them, and I use them to do something great. Well, I've come to talk to Davids in the room tonight. I've come to talk to those that no one knows who you are yet. But can I tell you, once you start slaying giants, everybody is going to know your name. Everybody is going to know, better yet, your God. I don't live so people can know my name. I deflect and I reflect as quick as I can because I am living to make the name of Jesus and Jehovah God famous. Brandon Lake said, one of the greatest things I've heard in a long time. Someone said, how do you stay so humble since you have risen to such heights? Brandon Lake's the one who wrote Gratitude. And you've seen him tour with Elevation and all of these other great people, Maverick City Music. He said, you rose so quickly. How do you stay humble? And he said, people were never designed to receive glory. And I love this statement. He said, so I get it off of me as quick as I can. When someone says, oh, you slayed that giant. No, correction. God slayed the giant. He just used my hand. If it wasn't for God, I couldn't clap. Come on. If it wasn't for God, I wouldn't make sense holding this microphone. Some of you are saying, well, you're not making much sense tonight. Well, Holy Spirit, just do what you need to do. If it wasn't for God, I wouldn't be able to tie my shoe, and you wouldn't be able to either. If it wasn't for God, we'd still be in kindergarten. Let me tell you, every good thing that I do, I am giving God glory for, and I am quick to say when somebody compliments me, somebody praises me, I get that glory right back onto Jesus and say, no, I know I stepped out on that battlefield, but in him, I live, move, and have my being. I know you think the weapon was good, but let me tell you something. When God's spirit got on the weapon, that's what really did it. He gave me the courage to step out. He gave me the faith to stand up. He gave me the voice to speak out. He gave me the hand to pick the stone, and he put his anointing on all of it. It's his glory. It's his glory. I've got a heart after God, and it changes things. Stop looking for what we want and become what God is looking for. God sought a person with a heart like his. 1 Samuel 16, verse 8. Then Jesse called Abinadab. This is David's brother, and had him pass in front of Samuel. This is at the sacrifice. There is 8 sons of Jesse. One of them, David, is not even in attendance. These are the 7 brothers of David who have a background in military training, who are strong, who look like they could be kingly. But kingly is not how you look. Kingly is not how you walk. Kingly is not how you talk. King comes to one thing. Do you have a heart like Jesus? Jesse called Abinadab and had him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, the Lord has not chosen. Somebody say chosen. The Lord has not chosen this one either. Jesse then had Shammah pass by. But Samuel said, nor has the Lord chosen. Somebody say chosen. He's not chosen this one. Jesse had 7 of his sons pass by Samuel. And Samuel said 7 times, the Lord has not chosen. The Lord has not chosen. How do you become chosen? Matthew 22:14. For many are called, but few are chosen. Jesus said, many are called, but few. Few to me is a relatively small number. God said, hey, Samuel, take a sacrifice, invite Jesse and all of his sons. This is where it gets dicey. God invited all 8, knowing only one had a heart like him. Meaning, the other 7 are not there to have their resume looked at. He already knew their heart. God said, I need them to see what I'm looking for. I need them to see what kind of king I want. I need them to see what they don't have and what he has. Somebody say amen. Sometimes it's not going to make sense when God crowns you and gives you the position he's getting ready to position or give you. Sometimes it's not going to make sense why God called you to defeat the Goliath, but he's going to give you a crowd because he wants everybody to know it's not what everybody else is talking about. It's not what everybody else is looking for, but I am looking beyond everything and I am looking at their heart. Many are called, but only few are chosen. If you're writing notes down, take this down. The Spirit of God is the difference between the called and the chosen. I saw a social media post this week of a pastor that was acting absolutely crazy. He was saying outlandish things, and he was taking time, what it looked like on a Sunday morning, to berate the people that were coming to his church that they did not buy him a nice watch for Christmas or his birthday or some other thing. And I don't love those videos because it makes me cringe. But you know what I love about those videos? The comment section. And I don't post a comment. I just read the comments. And I love what one comment said. They said, this pastor reminds me they weren't called, they just went. Most of the giant fighters, not giant slayers, most of the giant fighters you see, they were never called, they just went. Let alone chosen, they just went. And let me tell you something, if you're not called and you're not chosen, when you go out to battle the Goliaths and the giants in your life, it's not a matter of you might lose, you will lose. I want to say yes to the calling. And then I want to say, God, the difference between me and every also-ran, every person that their name, we don't even know some of the names of David's brothers. Why? Because they didn't have the heart of God. Your identity is in what God calls you to be, in the heart and the anointing that he places on you. But I've come to tell you, Jesus, I've answered the call, but in private, I've been working on the chosen part. I'm living like a chosen person. I'm walking like a chosen person. I'm not doing the things that all the called people do. See, I want to be used by God, so there's some things that are gray areas in the Word of God that I refrain from. Why? Because I don't want to just be the called. I want to be the chosen. I'm here to talk to people that want to level up, not level up bigger cars and nicer houses. Level up in your anointing. Level up in the Spirit of God. There's some things that you need to quit doing. There's some places you need to stop going. If I do those things, are they going to send me to hell? I can't answer that question, but I can answer this question, that if you want to do something great for God, you can't live like everybody else. You can't be like your seven other brothers. You've got to be what God has called you to be. You've got to step out and consecrate yourself. You've got to step out and sanctify yourself and say, y'all can go do that on Friday night, but I plan on being chosen. Y'all can live like that, but I plan on being chosen. Y'all can talk like that, but I plan on being chosen. Don't you know those seven people were scratching their heads? The seven other brothers of David saying, why him? Because while y'all were out there acting crazy, while y'all were living for the world, while y'all were out there working on your muscles, David was out there singing psalms unto the Lord on the backside of nowhere. David was practicing his harp. Why? Because there's going to come a time when Saul's going to have some evil spirits and the called musicians aren't going to get it done, but they're going to know, hey, there's a chosen worshiper named David, and if I can just get my foot in the kingdom, I know God is going to make a way for me to be king. I'm almost done. The called and the chosen. Many are called, few are chosen. Most of the giant fighters we see, they weren't called, they just went. I heard Tim Ross say this the other day, never try fighting a giant without a covering because you will get killed. Say, what am I covered with? His anointing, his spirit. See, I got his spirit on me. I got his heart in me. And I can't lose. Let me say that again. That's a good shirt. I got his spirit on me. I get his heart in me, and I can't lose. That's why it doesn't matter what happens tomorrow. I've got his spirit in me. I've got his spirit on me. I've got his heart in me, and I can't lose. Well, what about cancer? I've got his spirit on me. I've got his heart in me, and I can't lose. What about all this inflation and all this poverty that they say is coming? I've got his spirit on me. I've got his heart in me, and I can't lose. What do you say about all the pastors who have got caught in this scandal and that scandal? I don't know about them, but I do know this about me. I've got his spirit on me. I've got his heart in me, and I can't lose. I wish about 24 people would stand up on their feet right now and say, I've got his spirit on me. I've got his heart in me, and I can't lose. I can't lose. I can't. If you're still sitting down, you can go and stand up. We're done. I got his spirit on me. I've got his heart in me. I can't lose. You're facing giants. You don't even have to describe the giant. I was telling Cruz, how many people have been at Living Way longer than 25 years? Raise your hand. There's a few of us. Y'all remember the old building? Inman's, I know you'll remember. Remember the old building when we had testimony service? We had to shut testimony service down because people got wilding. They were wilding out during testimony service. But I remember one thing that Bishop always said that stuck in my mind is when somebody was given a 3-minute testimony that should have been 30 seconds, they would spend 2.5 minutes talking about how bad the devil was. And the devil's been doing this, and the devil's done this, and the doctor said this, and I couldn't do that. And then they spend 5 seconds talking about the goodness of the Lord. But then God just showed up and changed it all. Thank you, Jesus. Sit down. And Bishop would fix it right there. And he'd say, don't you give devil prime time. Don't you give the devil 90% and then tithe the 10 seconds you got left to talk about the goodness of God. Can I tell you, we know the devil's bad, but can I just talk about the goodness of the Lord? Talking about how bad that devil is doesn't help you, but talking about how good God is helps you. And I want to encourage somebody tonight, no matter what giant shows up tomorrow, the Spirit's on me. His heart's in me. I cannot lose. I cannot lose. Olivia, the Spirit's on you. His heart is in you. You cannot lose. Brian Tuttle, that's her husband. He's running our live stream. There's the red light. I'll look at the red light. Brian Tuttle up in the live stream room. The Spirit is on you and Olivia. His heart is in you. You cannot lose. Don't step off the battlefield because you got hit. Don't quit because a battle was lost. The war still rages, and you are guaranteed with the Spirit on you, His heart in you, you will not lose. You will not lose. I'm opening this altar right now for people that are fighting giants. This is how I'd like to say this tonight. If you're a giant fighter and you want to become a giant slayer, I want you to step out of your seat and join us in this altar right now. If you're watching online today and you're a giant fighter right now, but you want to become a giant slayer, you might not be able to step into this altar, but I want you to just stand up, lift your hands, and take a couple steps in your apartment, in your living room, wherever you're watching from. Start talking to God. Adriana, God bless you. The Spirit of God is on you. His heart is in you. You cannot lose. The Spirit's on you. His heart is in you. You cannot lose. Spirit's on you. Heart's in you. You cannot lose. My boy Betterman, the Spirit's on you. His heart is in you. I message this dude every week, right? I message him every week. I'm like, hey, come back to church. I want to see you. Here he is today. You say, where's he been? Doesn't matter where he's been. I'm talking about where he is right now. Can I just say that to the camera? Show me the red light. Can I just say that to somebody watching today? You've been gone so long, you don't think you can come back. I don't care why you left. I don't care about none of the past. I want to see you on Sunday morning. Doesn't matter where you've been. I want to talk about now and next. The Spirit is on you. His heart is in you. I cannot lose. Good to see you, my friend. Man, that dude fires me up every time I see him. If you're in this altar, lift both hands to heaven. If you're in this house, you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, this is your moment. This is your moment. If you'd like to be filled with the Holy Ghost, this is your moment. You talk about the Spirit of God now coming in you. Then we change the phrase, the Spirit's on me and in me. And the heart is in me, I cannot lose. Man, you talk about tripling up the power. If you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost, evidence of speaking in tongues, this is your moment. If you want to be baptized in water, this is your moment. I'm going to ask our altar workers to get ready. I'm going to ask our pastoral team to go ahead and start laying hands. Brother Lacey, we're going to pray for your grandson, right? Nephew. We're going to pray for your nephew in Jesus' name. We're going to do that in just a second. But those of you in this altar today, both hands up, I want you to just start declaring that his Spirit's on me. His heart is in me. I cannot lose. For those of you that are feeling somebody's hand on your head, these are our men and women that are filled with the Spirit of God. They are giant slayers, not giant fighters. They've got a testimony. They've got a game room with the head of the enemy. In the name of Jesus, Sister Gloria and Sister Tammy and Mario, they've got a lot of giants under their belt. In the name of Jesus, Sister Reba's got a lot of giants under her belt. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you. We thank you right now in the name of Jesus. Armando, his Spirit's on you. His heart is in you. Geronimo, his Spirit's on you. His heart is in you. Spirit's on you. Heart is in you in Jesus' name. Let's worship. Press in, Living Way. If you're at your seat, it's not too late to join us, but pray right now. Stretch your hand and pray for those that are making the transformation from giant fighter to giant slave.
I'm gonna see your victory. I'm gonna see your victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see your victory. I'm gonna see your victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see your victory. I'm gonna see your victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see your victory. I'm gonna see your victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord.
Your family's watching from the great state of Louisiana. To the Lacey family and the extended family, I received this text from you this morning. Can I read it? Because I want to focus prayer. He said, tonight I'm going to be standing in the altar in the gap for my nephew Mike Williams, who will be starting his season tomorrow. He and his family will be watching. Mike, we're going to pray for you. My prayer for him is not to allow the world to cloud his mind, that he not be afraid of possible injury, and to always focus and be aware that God's directing his future. I want everybody to get Mike Williams' name in your spirit. Mike Williams, we're going to call his name. You need to remember that name because you're going to see him playing on Sundays very, very soon. Brother Lacey's family has a long NFL tradition. And he was injured, but he's coming back stronger, faster, more agile than ever. But I know that Mike, as a 17 or 18-year-old young man, is thinking dollar signs and big contracts. But Brother Lacey, I'm thinking of the influence he's going to have on millions of people. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray and I use my friend Pastor Lacey as a point of contact for his nephew Mike Williams. Lord, first and foremost, we pray, God, that you would keep him focused on you, your presence, your spirit. God, I believe, God, that right now, Lord, you are putting a hedge of protection around him. We declare no injuries. We declare he's coming back stronger, faster, more agile than ever. We pray, God, that, Lord, the right set of eyes will see him this year, God. Lord, we pray that any time a microphone is put in his face, he will declare the goodness of the Lord. Lord, we believe that right now your spirit is on him. Your heart is in him, and he cannot lose. We pray for favor, protection, but most importantly, purpose for Mike Williams. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Going to stand right here, eventually going to give his testimony. I believe that. Mike Williams. Praise God. I feel like God is doing some great things. God's working in this young lady. Tears streaming down. Face is fed. It was so good to see, man. You made my night. Praise God. If there's anything you need, this is the moment. These Wednesday nights, we can soak a little bit before you leave. If you want to keep coming down and receiving prayer, our team's ready. If you've got a second mile offering, lift it up. Let's pray, God. We thank you for what has been said and done in this house. Lord, I thank you. The prayers of the righteous men and women have availed much. Lord, I'm thankful that giant fighters were turned into giant slayers tonight. Thank you for your spirit on us. Thank you for your heart in us. As we lift up our offering tonight, go on the second mile. Do great things with it. Multiply it. For this church, most importantly for kingdom, and Lord, for families in the room and online today, bless, multiply. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you so much, Brother Charlie. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, I am a giant killer. Tell him I got the resume to show it. Tell him, but God is not through yet. Tell them bigger giants are about to fall in Jesus' name. Praise God. Ladies, remember you can sign up and register for conference tonight. There's new merch out there. We'd love for you to support Living Way. Mandy was wearing one of the new shirts that says Jesus is hope. And at Ross or TJ Maxx of all places, she was able to minister to the cashier. You never know what it's going to do. Invite somebody to church for Sunday. Going to have a great time Saturday with the young people. Before you leave, turn to your neighbor and tell them, get your hopes up. We love you, and remember, Jesus loves you 24 hours each and every day. And with Jesus, your best is always next. God bless.
Late in the midnight hour, God's going to turn it around. He's going to work in your